Blog Talk Radio.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's radio. Yahuwah's ministry. I be your host. My name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries of the Bible. Unlocking the mysteries of the Bible. A lot of mysteries in this Bible. We're going to bring them out. So what we're going to do, we're going to go grab our elder, this tape number 25, he'll tell you about the broadcast, and then we'll continue down, it's unlocking mysteries of the Bible that must be known by the children of the light. The children of the light got to come out the darkness, and we'll see what's going on a little bit later. We'll find our elder and bring him in. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder, Mr. Tibbs. Yahuwah
beat the Seed Royal. And Yahuwah bless you, Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that elder, Mr. Tibbs. Well, one thing about it, we know the children of the book is in gross darkness when it comes down to understanding what Yahuwah is saying. God is turning that light on, but we have to do it as a collective body to do so. So, the time and where you going to bring on the table for Yahuwah put on you, and then the same token, spread some books out a little bit, and we'll throw a few verses around to all the ones that come on stage. We'll just get something going on after you give the presentation about who bring this broadcast. You on the clock, come out.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And I'm quite sure many have heard me say by now, it's always a great pleasure to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And that's always a good thing, because the more people we have nourished in the word of Yahuwah, the more the righteous word will spread. Just like today, I had one of our temple members to visit the elder at his place of work. He got a chance to speak to one of them, I should say, unrighteous preachers. That's the name we'd like to use, rather than the name I think I should use. Unrighteous preachers. Got a chance to flex his muscles a little bit, because they spread the word a different way. It sort of reminds you of 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, where he says, every spirit that confesses not that Yahuwah the Son has come in the flesh is not of Yahuwah, and this is the spirit of the anti-Yahuwah. Therefore, you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. And you can bet your bottom dollar, it's here, as strong as ever. This is why it's always good to be word up in Yahuwah, as it tells you in Matthew 24, verse number 4 and 5. 4 says, and Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. 5. So many shall come in my name, saying, I am Yahuwah the Son, and deceive many. Well, I have seen that at least a few times a week, and I'm quite sure some of you listening have already. This is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, loud bumper gums, and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's word, which many have asked us, not being familiar with the Bible, how can you guys from Yahuwah's ministry get this much information from this one book? To remind them once again, it comes from connecting the books, the words of Yahuwah. We even speak about your health, the foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days, and much more comes in this one book. This is information you came to seek, and you have found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. In those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, however, we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine, any one of your smart devices, and write on that search line, enter tribeyada.com. And right after you click enter, you will see a big line. And under that line, you will see some choices, one being tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. On any other device, you might see menu, but clicking this, again, you see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms.
All right.
Well,
Elder, okay. Well, good enough. Come back, Elder.
We're still
yes,
here.
Sir.
We hadn't gone yet. We just had a momentary delay, Brother Seer. As I said, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah of your kindreds of the people, give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to the ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to those Bible scriptures, which you should very well know by now. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, alive. Also for building that school, which I can see is very well needed on a daily basis. A banquet hall, radio station and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah. Well, while you're there, we even have a calendar. Check that calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come throughout the year. We even have a live program. It's features available during our live broadcast time. Just enter three words to get there, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah, and click that red live button. As soon as it appears, it'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyahdah@gmail.com. The other is yahdahisrael@gmail.com. These are for your written opinions or questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. We even have some numbers you can call with Yahweh in mind. Now, the first is our live conference room number. This number is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of our six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As a reminder, you will only hear discouraging dial tone. Remember, the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, it says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless have but one counselor over 1,000. Also, by calling this number, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might add, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before a broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, the reason for saying this, the seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos before our program starts. And now even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of today's program, you can catch our entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. This program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for the Voices of the True Israelites. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during our normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our information on Paltalk, where the sound is crystal clear. We will be listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. And you'll find this room will hold probably more than 50 participants. This is where Yahweh's Word will always be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer the on-the-table topics we discussed during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel riding a shotgun. And no comments will be taken off topics or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahweh be with you all. We will pass our program over to our Seer Israel, where the teaching can yet begin. Aru Yahweh.
Hallelujah, you were excellent on that part of it there. And you did mention about the feast days that's coming up, so we'll give you a couple of minutes to spread, get the old table spread out a little bit. We're going to talk about a couple of things since we heard you say a couple of things. And definitely we're just going to bring out a few things. But like I said again, it is a feast day coming up. Another feast day coming up. And like you said, check them calendars and throw a peeping at it, but we'll give you the heads up on it according to Scripture on what we can read. So, let's take a look at, we're going to just take our time and take a look at a few verses and see exactly after we put on some Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what that says before we can get something going on there. Come on. Hello, Mr. Tibbs. I'm going to take a look and see can we get us some Luke in there, Elder. And we'll spread a couple books out and see can we get something going on this take number 25. So, if you don't mind, take a little peek down at Luke chapter 12, verse 12, and we'll feel our way from that point after we hear it. You on the clock, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, come on.
In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
That's right, Elder. The righteous spirit will teach you in that very same hour. Elder, if you got that red book called the Apocrypha, books that was taken away, I want to look at what it says in that fifth chapter 1-9, because you did mention about a feast day coming up, and we want to take a look at the feast day coming up a little bit anyway. We know it's about 3 weeks away. So in that red book, in the fifth chapter of the first book of Maccabees, chapter 5, can you take a look at 1-9 and let's see what that's saying. First book of Maccabees, chapter 5, 1-9. Take your time now, Elder. We got plenty of time. You on the clock, come up.
In the book of Maccabees, chapter 5, looking at verses 1-9, I think you said, 1-9.
One all the way down to verse 9. One all the way to verse 9. Let's take a look at 1-9. Let's see what we can get out of 1-9 there. Elder, come on.
Verse 1. Now when the nations round about heard that the altar was built and the sanctuary renewed as before, it displeased them very much. 2. Wherefore they brought to destroy generations of Jacob, Israel, that was among them. And thereupon they began to slay and destroy the people. 3. Then Judah fought against the church. Hey.
All right. Well, we see Old Rover want to read the Bible pretty good himself. Old Rover want to read a little bit. So he'll kind of get Old Rover's them back in order. And we see we bring on the stage our Mother E, and we'll see if we get back to that. And when Elder kind of take that belt off and take care of Rovers, making all that racket, we'll be back all right. So, hey, so when you meet the Mosaic of Kavwan, hey, Mother E, tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh BJC, right?
Yahweh bless you, Israel. I see you are. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, well, there, Mother E. We know Mosey is somewhere spreading the books out and getting the notes prepared. So we just gonna get something going on to the rest of the come on stage when we can get something going on. So Elder did got everything straightened out. So we'll come back with Elder, Mother. Just stand by. But matter of fact, have me that EZRA waiting on me, EZRA chapter 4, had that waiting on me. Come back to the Elder. But take a look down at that Ezra, EZRA 4 chapter. Had that waiting on me, Mother, after we come out 18 down to verse 21. Have that waiting on me. We come back to our Elder, because we know Elder got everything in order right now. Everybody got their place, they read, they eating them up real good. So let's bring our Elder back in again. So Elder, we know you back on point. So in that first Maccabees chapter 5, 1-9, pick it back up at verse 1 again. You on the clock, come on.
Okay, and the first book of Maccabees, going back to chapter 5, reading over again at verse 1 through verse number 9. Verse 1 says, "Now when the nations round about heard that the altar was built and the sanctuary renewed as before, it displeased them very much. 2. Wherefore they brought to destroy the generations of Jacob, Israel, that was among them. And thereupon they began to slay and destroy the people. 3. When Judah fought against the children of Esau and Edom and Albatanian, they became besieged. Gela, he gave them a great overflow and abated their courage and took their spoils. 4. Also, remembered the inquiry of the children of Beam, who had been a snare and offense unto the people, and that they lay in wait for them in the ways. 5. He shut them up before in the towers, and encamped them, and encamped against them, and destroyed them utterly, and burned the towers of that place with fire, and all that were therein. 6. Afterwards, he passed over the children of Ammon, where he found a mighty power and much people, with Timotheus and their captain. 7. So he fought many battles with them, till at length, and they were discomforted before him, and he smote them. 8. And when he had laid, and when he had taken Jazer with the towers belonging thereto, he returned to Judea. 9. Then the heathen that were at Galat assembled themselves together against the Israelites that in their quarters to destroy them, but they had fled to the forest of Dathama.
Read verse 3 again, Elder. Read verse 3 again, Elder.
Verse 3 and verse 4.
Yeah, read that again.
Verse 3. Read says, "Then Judas fought against the children of Esau and Idumea and Arbinet, because they besieged Gela. He gave them a great overthrow and abated their courage and took their spoils. 4. Also, he remembered the injury of the children of Dean, who had been a snare and an offense unto the people, and that they lay in wait for them in the ways."
So, we find out that, you know, the elder mentioned about Elder out because, you know, to keep up with these peace days, and we just find out Judah is a and Judah had a big fight with Esau. Also, he had a big fight with Ammon, and that's Moab and Ammon, called the Japanese and the Chinese. So well, look what we gonna stumble up with by understanding where you stand at today, and can repeat itself if you don't know that once upon a time ago, Judah got them a lick in. So we're going to back up and find out. So Judah got a good lick in on Esau and his 5 sons, and he took care of Moab and Ammon all up in that first Maccabees chapter 5:1-9, and then they still assemble later on against the Israelites. So Judah is the Israelites, and we find out that although they got beat down real good, but they regrouped themselves later on in that 1-9. Now we're going to back up, Elder, to the 4th chapter and find out something in verse 46, and we'll until we get a nice foundation, then we'll swing over to Mother Eve. So now, back up to the fourth chapter of that first Maccabees, and let's see what's going on that had Judah to organize the Israelites to go against Esau and his five sons and whoop them real good. So that was a whooping real good. So now we're going to bag back and see what happened after that good whooping was put on the table in the fourth chapter, 46, and we'll read all the way down, and we'll get us a nice foundation. Elder, you're on the clock. Come on.
Okay. You said chapter 46?
No, chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
Yeah, just back up a little bit, and let's find out something along the way of finding out something. We pick up verse 46. Let's see what happened, and so we can really have a good foundation. What happened in First Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 46, and we'll read all the way down. Come on.
Okay. In the book of Maccabees, chapter 4, First Maccabees 4, starting at 46. 46 says, and laid up the stones in the mountains of the temple in a convenient place until they could come to a seer to show what should be done with them. 47. Then they took whole stones according to the law and built a new altar according to the former. 48. And made up the sanctuary and the things that were within the temple and hollowed the courts. 49. They made also new righteous vessels, and into the temple they brought the candlestick and the altar of the burnt offerings and of incense and the table. 50. And upon the altar they burned incense, and the lamps that were upon the candlesticks they lighted, that they may give light in the temple. 51. Furthermore, they set the loaves upon the table and spread out the veals and finished all the works which they had begun to make. 52. Now on the 25th day of the 9th month, which is called the month of Kislew, in the 148th year, they rose up betimes in the morning. 53. And offered sacrifice according to the law upon the new altar of burnt offerings, which they had made. 54. Look at what time and what day the heathen had profaned it, even in that it was dedicated with songs, cymbals, and harps, and cymbals. 55. Then all the people fell upon their faces, worshiping, praising of Yahweh of heaven, who had given them good success. 56. And so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days and offerings of burnt offerings with gladness, and sanctified the sacrifice of deliverance and praise. 57. They decked also the forefronts of the temple with crowns of gold and with shields, and the gates of the chambers they renewed and hanged doors upon them. 58. Thus there was a great gladness among the people, and for the reproach of the heathen was put away. 59. Moreover, Judas and his brothers, with the whole congregation of Israel, ordained that the days of dedication of the altar should be kept in their seasons from year to year by space of 8 days, from the 5th and 20th day of the month of Chazal, within the myrrh and gladness. 60. At that time they also built up the Mount Zion with high walls and strong towers round about, lest the Gentiles could come and tread it down they had done before. Tread it down as they'd done before. 61. And they set upon the garrison to keep it and fortify Bethshura to preserve it, that the people might have a defense against Adumia.
So he says a lot of good stuff. You done some proper reading there, Elder. But let's look at one verse at a time, and let's see can we really what we trying to do on that point. Mother Eve, we know you're holding some Mother Eve, but can you get those seals, the book of Job? Let's go book of Job there, Mother Eve. And we'll look at Job 23. We'll make it Job 22. Job 22, pick up verse 23 down to verse 26. Now, Elder, you put some on table that's real great, and we're going to investigate that through the precepts, and then we're going to go back over some verses that you read after Mother Eve, bring in Job chapter 23. Job, make it 22, verse 23 down to verse 26. Hey, Mother Eve, take your time and look at Job 22, take it verse 23 down to verse 26. Come on.
Okay. The book of Job, chapter 22, verse 23 to 26. Verse 23 reads, "If you return to the Almighty, thus shall be built up, thus shall put away sin or from the tabernacle, temple." Verse 24, "Then shall thus lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stone of the brook." Verse 25, "Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver." Verse 26, "For then shall thus have their delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto Yahweh."
Can you read? See, our mission coming on this national radio broadcast for the 700,000 strong on the international side, but our goal of the Six Anointed Camps is to do what, Mother, in that 22? Read that verse 23 again. So our sole purpose is to put on this national audience Job 22, verse 23. What does it say?
The book of Job, chapter 22, verse 23. If you return to the Almighty Yahweh, thus shall be built up, thus shall put away sin from the tabernacle.
So, come on this podcast, it is to build you up. So we took our time in to build them up because when we build you up, it's for you to put away sin. Now, Mother E, what is the biblical definition in John chapter 3, verse 10? What is the definition of sin? We trying to build you up. Yeah, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4.
First John chapter three, verse three and four.
When we come on these networks 6 nights a week, it is to build you up. But it starts with the Six Anointed Camps. It's clear that we got to build them up. Our thing they don't understand, but our job is to build them up. To understand that you got to keep, you can't sin against the Almighty, and sin is, the Bible of in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. What does it say there, Mother?
First John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purify himself, even as he is true. Verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. Well, sin is the transgression of the law.
So sin, the Bible definition of sin, is breaking his law. That is the Bible definition of sin. Sin, the Bible definition of sin, is breaking his law. So we're trying to bring everything back to the Bible, and it's breaking his law. Now, Mother E, I got to get a little bit more out of that before we come back to the elders. Come back to Isaiah 42. See, the Spirit of Yahweh dictates your lessons after certain things are said. So now we clear sin, according to the Bible, is breaking his law.
Right.
Now we go on and see what did the seer say about that, what Yahweh going to do pertaining to his law. We go on to Isaiah 42, verse 21. Can you help those see out there, Mother E, by looking at Isaiah 42, 21?
Look, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 21. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable.
He said, sooner or later, Yahweh going to magnify the law, and he going to make it honorable. The law is not going to be something that you're going to have look at. Sooner or later, he's going to magnify this law, and his law going to be honorable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is he telling this to, Mother, that we can read when we look at verse 24? Let's look at verse 24. Let's see what's going on in verse 24.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 24 reads, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to be robber? Did not Yahweh, he against whom we have sinned, while they would not walk in his way, neither were they obedient unto his law.
So what we read, Mother, who gave the 12 tribes over to the enemy? They just told you who gave the 12 tribes over to the enemy.
Well, I know.
Because the tribes of Israel would not walk into his law. So the reason why the 12 tribes of Israel is scattered today, because they walked away from his law. Then he gave them all up, because he said in that verse number 21, he going to magnify his law. So sometimes when you want point established and you want your point to be well understood, it's like when you was growing up, your parents will punish you for your wrongdoing to get your attention. So the Almighty have punished the 12 tribes of Israel for they breaking his law called wrongdoing. See, so that's what's going on. So now let's look at something he said, Mother, if we come back to Elder, something he said in Numbers chapter 15. Something he said in Numbers chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Hey, Mother E, what he says in Numbers chapter 15, verse 15 and 16.
Okay. The book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 15 and verse 16. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15. One order will be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you. An order for ever in your generation. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Yahweh. 16. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you.
Well, so look where we are. The children of Israel was told about Paul. He says, Paul, that I'm giving you, children of Israel, you got to apply it. Be obedience to it, and you cannot follow no other nations. You got to follow my law, children of Israel. He says, what I got on table, you got to follow it. You can't follow them, children of Israel, the Israelites. So now we find out something happened way back there in the days of the Maccabees. And the elder, he laid out found verse because it was a battle going on in the fifth chapter, first Maccabees 1 through 9. And the children of Israel went up against what we read in 46 against the Gentiles and the Idumeans. But guess who the Gentiles is and the Idumeans is when we read back with the elder in the fifth chapter verse? Who is the Idumeans and the heathen and the Gentiles in this case? It was told in 1 Maccabees chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Hey, elder, Mr. Tibbs. Let's see what it says about identifying the Gentiles, the heathens, by going to an Idumea. Who is this he's talking about by looking at 1 Maccabees 5, verse 3 and 4? Come on.
1 Maccabees chapter 5, verse 3 and verse number 4. 3 says, then Judas fought against the children of Esau, and Idumea, and Arbatan, because they had besieged Gela. And he gave them a great overthrow, and abated their courage, and took their spoils. 4. Also, he remembered the injury of the children of Bini, who had been a snare and an offense unto the people, and that they lay in wait for them in the ways.
Ain't that something? So look, we are learning on the way of learning something. So we learned something. Judah got a licking, and they got a licking on Esau and his five sons, but it is no celebration on Judah getting a lick in, even to this day. Nobody celebrates that. We celebrate saying when somebody else got a lick in on us, we go hook, line, and sinker on celebrating when they got a lick on us. We beat them celebrating what they got on the table. Like, for example, we just got through with Thanksgiving, we celebrate that, but that is, the history of that is they got a lick in on you. You getting ready for Christmas, again, that's something that they give you. But what was given to you who have no knowledge of it and don't care whether you do it or not. So that's why he said this people is a not mother. Now come back and read. When we got that mindset, we got a mindset like that. Whatever somebody else got going on, we'll clog the stores and get everything before anybody get it. But when it comes down to us in the lick end, we don't pay it no never mind. So that's why it says, mother, in Isaiah 42. Let's talk about it, mother, for a minute. Let's look at this verse, mother, in Isaiah 42. He says, let's see what he says about this people in verse 44 and 45. Let's go to Isaiah 42. Now, we're just going to take our time, mother. You got the old Hilda riding shotgun with you, so we're just going to look at a few things because, you know, like the Elder said, check that calendar because the feast day is coming up. But we don't have to never tell nobody to check the calendar about the feast days or what the world done set up. So by that, in our sleep and our relatives going to remind us of it, about how you coming over for Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving, when you were slaughtered, when they got a in on you. Then they'll come back and tell you, what about my Christmas present?
Yes,
was the one you call Jesus Christ, was he born on December 25th according to the Bible? Oh, no. He wasn't. Now, we just do it because man gave it to us, and we've been doing it all our life, so we're going to continue doing it. Okay, I got it. Oh, but we read in Numbers 15:15, telling the children of Israel by the mouth of Moses, you can't be like them. They got to be like you.
Right.
So what happens in a case like that, this mother, in Isaiah 42, can you help this national audience out about what happened when you disobedient, just like the days of growing up when you disobedient? You got punished. Let's see what happened in Isaiah 42, verse 24 and 25. Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 24 and verse 25. Who gave Jacob for his fall and Israel to the robbers? Did not Yahweh, against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his way, neither were they obedient unto his law. Verse 25. Therefore he had poured upon them the fury of anger and the strength of battle, and it had set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to hurt.
Mm-hmm. So he said they was not obedient to his law. He said, although he burnt them up on every side, I mean, he beat on every business deal it is, the 12 tribes of Israel have been beat down on every point. But they have not even laid it to mind that they cannot be a follower. They got to be the leader when it comes down to the Bible. He said, I put them in snares or holes in prisons. I had them hung. I beat them up real good. I taken away things from them. I taken their better halves from them. And they still won't make a decision according to the Bible. But we found out by the elder reading a statement that the heathens and Idumea and the Gentiles is pointing toward Esau and his five sons. So now let's see who who brought that to the children of Israel's attention, Elder? Let's see who got the children of Israel's attention to be aware of these things. And one, I mean, at 4th chapter, verse 46. Now, we're going to look at that verse real good and take the time and like you put it, eat a nice, good meal and take the time and bring some audio out, Elder, in that verse 46. Go 46. Take the time and bring that verse out for the national audience to really hear you bring that verse out in 446. Come on.
And the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 4.
Yes.
Verse 46. 46 says, and laid up the stones in the mountains of the temple in a convenient place until there could come a seer to show them what should be done with them.
Yeah, so the order about that, when you have type, when things, when it comes down to make a decision according to the Bible, what must you do according to verse 46? Hey, take a look at that verse real carefully, Elder. So if you're in a tight and you can't figure out what to do, according to verse 46, what do the Bible tell you that you should do according to the Bible in verse 46? Break that verse down, Elder, come on.
Well, you just have to be patient and wait for a seer to come show you what should be done.
Excellent. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Don't get so frantic. Get in contact with the seer, and the seer will hook you up with the elders, and then they will show you what to do in this case according to the scripture. Now, good. Now skip down to verse 52 now, Elder. What do it say in 52 now? It says, now we understand that the word, in this case, the word heathen, Adumia, and Gentile is talking about Esau and his five sons when we precept that to the 5th chapter, verse 3 and 4. So now look what it says in verse 52 now. Come on. Read verse 52 there, Elder.
Verse number 52 says, now on the 5th and 20th day of the 9th month, which is called the month of Kislew, in the 148th year, they rose up betimes in the morning.
Okay, good. So we got a date when this started, and that Kislew means December the 25th. So something happened December the 26th and 146 B.C. Is that correct? Is that year is 146 B.C. there, Elder?
That's correct.
So something happened on December the 25th, and the starting date was 146 B.C. So that's 146 years before the turn of the A.D. So this is prior to 146 years ago, the son came in the body. So he came in the body around about 4 B.C. So around about 146 years, this was on the table, and let's see what Judas Maccabees and the children of Israel, the Israelites, they defeated Esau and his five sons, and he had help with him with Moab and Ammon called the Japanese and the Chinese. So we find out in 146 B.C., December 25th, something started, and what happened next in verse 55?
In verse Did you 55?
55 says,
"Then all the people fell upon their faces, worshiping and praising the Yahweh of heaven, whom had given them good success."
So Yahweh gave them good success. After the seer brought the information to them, they gave them good success, and they talked about a victory that they won. They won something. The children of Israel, the Israelite, got them a lick in, and they whooped Esau and his five sons. And they whooped his helpers he had, what's called Japanese and Chinese. They was all with him. And Judah, the Israelites, got them a good whooping in. So what happened next in verse 6? Now let's talk about it in verse 56. Now what happened next in 56?
56 says, "And so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days and offered burnt offerings with gladness and sacrificed the sacrifice of deliverance and praise."
Yeah. So what they did on December 25th, after that good slaughter, that whooping that they put on Esau and his five sons, along with the help of Chinese and Japanese, they whooped them real good. So the children of Israel, they ordained a feast of celebration that they're going to do it every year on December 25th. They're going to celebrate the Feast of Dedication. That's what they're going to do. They said, "We're going to do this feast for 8 days." Now, while we're doing this feast, it is to celebrate on us whooping Esau and his five sons, along with the helpers, Japanese and Chinese, Moab and Ammon. So they said, "We're going to do this every year, and it's going to start. We whooped them real good, and on December 25th, 146 B.C., that's the starting date, and we're going to dedicate a 8-day feast that we're going to do." And read the next verse there, Elder. Take your time, because we want to try to really let this sink in to the national audience, over 700,000 strong on the international side, that when December 25th comes up, we know what the world going to celebrate. But we also find out that it was a feast that the children of Israel, the Israelites, celebrate too. But they feast go for 8 days. But in this feast, it is a remembrance of what we did, our forefathers and mothers. And it's an 8-day feast on it. For 8 straight days, they celebrated. And we're going to find out, I can't think of the verse right now, Mother E. But Mother E, can you, and Mother Z, can you help those see out and find that old verse about the dedication that Yahweh the Son came and he kept it. Speaking of you, y'all run that down for those here. The feast of dedication, and it was winter that the Almighty Son came miles. So take your time and have that waiting on me, Mother E. Y'all have that waiting on me after we take care of a little bit with the elder. That verse on the old seer was a little bit later. So now what do 57 say, Elder? What do verse 57 say?
Okay, 57. And also, I think you're looking for St. John 10:22. But anyway, verse 57. Well, we're kind of slow today, so not as fast as usual. But 57 says, "They decked also the forefront of the temple with crowns of gold and with shields and the gates of the chambers they renewed, and hung doors upon them.
So now we find out on that 8-day feast, it sounds like a more like what we see they do, but they do it for a totally different reason. But we find out the 8-day feast, you deck it out real good, the temple site. You get it all laid out real good, and now you got an 8-day celebration coming up, 8 straight days. And guess what? In them 8 straight days, that's when you bring out your turkey, passing cranberry sauce, because you celebrating, you getting a lick in. Now you celebrate, they were turkey, and get you whooped them real good. You stuff them off into a good whooping, and you see blood run all down. So now you're supposed to bring in your turkey, your dressing, and your cranberry sauce, because you celebrating a good whooping, not celebrating you being the turkey. You celebrating they was the turkey. So you see, what they did that day, they taken 4 days of December 25th. They started in 146. When you whooped them real good, you had the turkey, the dressing, the cranberry sauce. You, because it was the turkey, see? And you prayed for 8 days. So they taking that bad history day after they did something, but they had to do something first. Hey, Mother East, they had to do something, Book of Obadiah. They have to first do something before they can bring in, because you want to know, why did they December 25th make it a total different day? Something they did, Mother East. Hey, Mother East. In the book of Obadiah. Let's see what happened in the book of Obadiah that we can read in verse number 1. And then we're going to skip down to let's read Obadiah 1:1 first. What is saying in the book of Obadiah 1:1?
The book of Obadiah. Chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus said the Yahweh concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Yahweh, and an ambassador is sent among the nations. Arise you, and let us rise up against her in battle.
So rumor of something Esau was going to do, And Obadiah was to tell the descendants of Obadiah, the children of Israel, about it's a rumor that what Esau going to do, but you can be very aware of what he's going to do. So what was he going to do, Mother, when we skip down to verse number 13? Let's see what was told that Esau was going to do by the seer. Remember the elder read in that? One book of Maccabees 4:46, the message came to the seer, remind the elders exactly what to do pertaining to what's coming up for the celebration. So now Obadiah was the man of the hour at this point. So he's telling the children of Israel about Esau and his five sons on something they gonna do. In verse number 13. What are you going to do, Mother, that we can read? 1:13. What is Esau and the five sons going to do in Obadiah 1:13?
The book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 13. Thus should not have entered into the gates of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thus should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance, in the day of their collection.
Oh! So Esau is going to go into the land, and not only go into the land, they're going to lay hands on their substance. That means their books, their information. So they read in the book that you, children of Israel, the Israelites, y'all celebrate the whooping of us that started in 146 B.C. Now, we got your book record. So what we got to do about this December the 25th celebration on you whooping us, we going to turn it around and have and celebrate us whooping you and have you celebrate and beating us celebrating it. So now we out the first turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce. The children of Israel celebrated for 8 days whooping Esau. So they're taking this record from you and told you that you African-American, Negro, in color, and we are you, and you've been told you've been somebody else. And as long as you carry what we do, we know Yahweh would not be with you. What you mean, WCC? What can we read that Yahweh will not be with us? Well, we can read that, Mother E. Let's see, can we read that WCC, the 500 million members want a precept on that? Let's see. And see, they know if they get you to celebrate December 25th, and we'll put on it Jesus Christ's birthday and give gifts, knowing that the true meaning of December 25th, the turkey, the dressing, the cranberry sauce, is when you put Esau and Ammon and Moab and on December 25th started in 146 B.C. So at your records, they done something to you to make get your records because they your records. And in the book of Judas there, Mother E, in the fifth chapter out of that red book called the book of Judas, can you help me out around about the fifth chapter, verse 18? Let's read a little bit, and let's see what's going on. See, we trying to paint the picture on what December 25th are you celebrating on the international side. Is you celebrating the December 25th when the children of Israel got them a lick in? Or are you celebrating when you taking the books and now you got them thinking they African-American Negroes and you think this day is about gift-giving and Santa Claus riding in thin air with a bunch of, what they call them things, rolls of... robes, call them, what them things they be riding on? What them things in mid-air, they be riding in mid-air, he be sitting in a, what is that animal, Elder? What's the name of that animal that can fly on, in mid-air?
A reindeer pulling a carriage. A reindeer pulling a carriage.
Say it again. Reindeer in midair. So we celebrate a reindeer, a deer, pulling a big fat Esau man in midair. We celebrate that. A man flying in. A big fat Esau man with reindeer flying in midair. We go hook, line, and stick on that every year. See? You see what we do? So now, good. So now, what we at? What are we getting ready to read?
Judah chapter 5, did you say 18?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Give me 5:18. What do you say, mother? Because those Zion got happy. Now, I know Mother Zion got happy because we know that what I'm saying gonna have Santa Claus and the reindeer flying in midair. On a chariot in midair, and some rain and some deers is pulling him in midair. And we've been doing that ever since we can remember, and still doing it. And he gonna bring gifts. He gonna show up in the projects and come down, but they don't even have a chimney. He gonna come down in the projects, you know, and drop you gifts. So you see why we have to come. If we don't come now, when are we supposed to come? So now, let's see what was told by William. When they got your books, they share your information with all the other nations. Listen to the conversation Mother getting ready to read in Judas chapter 5, verse 18. What did it say that, Mother? Let's read a little bit. Come on.
Look at Judas chapter 5, verse 18. But when they departed from the way which he appointed them, they were destroyed in many battles, very slow, and were led captive into a land that was not theirs. And the temple of their Yahweh was cast to the ground, and their cities were taken by the enemy.
Hold that point, Mother. Now, Mother, you know you dropped a bombshell on there. It said today the children of Israel, the Israelites. He says, once you depart from doing what Yahweh, the four-letter man, told you to do that you can read, when it come down to battles, according to verse 18, how many will we win? According to verse
18.
We ain't gonna win none. That's the bottom line, Mother. We ain't gonna win none. When we break away from what the Almighty has told us and do things and talk another way, when it comes down to any kind of victory, you're not gonna win none. There's right there. And they explained to some snitch is telling the sons of Ham, listen, the way you defeat the children of Israel, keep them down. You get them to do opposite of what the book is saying. Then the Almighty will... What would the Almighty, let's read that. Let's read what he do, Mother. Let's see what the Almighty do. Let's see what he do in the book of Jeremiah. No, we leave it right there. We'll come back with that a little later. Let's find what the Almighty do. Once you make a decision, and when December 25th come up, let's see if you celebrating what Judas Maccabees, the Israelites, is celebrating for 8 days, or would you be celebrating what they set up for 8 days? How many days they gave it? December 21st, or all the way to New Year's. I don't know. We'll see. But let's see what happens when you don't celebrate what the Almighty say, and we find out you're going to lose every battle you get into. And let's see exactly what he got written, Mother, that's going to happen to you, us, the children of Israel, when we go the way it's contrary to the Bible. Let's see what happened that we can read in Jeremiah 21, Mother. We're going to look down at verse 4, down to verse 6. Let's see what it says in Jeremiah 21, verse 4. Down to verse 6. What
does
it say?
Look at Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 4 to 6, verse 4 reads, thus said Yahweh of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapon of war that are in your hand. Wherewith you fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of the city. His city. Verse 5. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. Verse 6. And I will fight the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great death.
Okay. You mean when we disobey the law of the Almighty, and when it comes down to a battle, we're not only fighting the one that we can see physically, but the one spiritually that you can't see is also is whooping you side to head too. Have you wondered how a people that is the greatest people on the planet is called the children of Israel and everything, but they don't never win nothing no more. They losing everything. Everything they get their hand on, they come up short. And a great, greater people as these peoples is, they always come up short, and we find out why. Because in verse 5 it says, I myself will fight against you with an outstretched arm. See, we don't know that when we continue to break his law as a nation, when it gets hard and heavy, the Almighty will not be with you. Because you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving Day when you got whooped. Not knowing that the day of December 25th is a day that started in 146 B.C. when you whooped, and they was the turkey. They was the dressing. They was the cranberry sauce. You supposed to love and feel that. So what December 25th are you going to celebrate? The one when you got a lick in? Or the one when they got a lick in? We gonna see. Now, Elder, you stopped off on 57. So let's read 58 now. Let's go back to 1 Maccabees. So we see when you violate your agreement of all that he says, it's going to be obedient. And you don't keep your end of the bargain, the Almighty going to fight against you. And the whole other nation know this. You want to continue being power. Continue to just trick them to do what we do. And long as you got them doing what we set up, the Almighty will fight against them for us.
Yes.
See? That is what they're saying, right? So now we're going to see what you do. Now, December 25th will be in your mind to teach your little ones about when your forefathers and mothers got lick in. They had a great slaughter on Esau and his five sons. So they take your record and turn that day in to fat Esau man flying in mid-air with reindeers in mid-air and made it a coming show. And still get past your day. Now, you know, can't no fat white man get in no chariot and fly in no air with no deers in the midair. But they'll show you that all day long and get your loved ones happy and say, look at Santa Claus flying around in midair. But December 25th is the day when you got to lick in. But they taking your record and turning around and got it where a big fat white man's flying around in air. And you go hook, line, and sinker, and you ask your loved one, where's my present you bringing me? You brought me a gift on December 25th? That's foolishness. What happened on December 25th is when the children of Israel, the Israelites, whooped Esau. But they said they're going to remove that from your remembrance and turn it upside down. According to 29:16 of Isaiah, we're not going to read. This thing has been turned upside down on you. Everything you done good, they done flipped it on you by having your record. And now they say they're you. And you can't prove that they're not you. You can't prove it. They say they're you. They say they're the children of Israel. You the Gentile and the Negro. See that? So when you look for yourself in this Bible, you don't see yourself nowhere. How long is it going to continue, see, right? So now look. So December 25th, 146 B.C. started on the true meaning of this day is when you whooped Esau and his five sons with all the other nations helping them, you put a great slaughter on them. So now, we're going back to the elder and find out what else happened on that day of December 25th, 146 B.C. What else happened? Verse 58, come on, Elder.
Verse 58, we're still in chapter 4. This is verse 58. Thus there were very great gladness among the people, for that the reproach of the heathen was put away.
Okay. Now, who was the reproach of the heathen? Who was these heathen in 5 verse 3? Let's read 5 verse 3. Who was, because they were put away. You had to put them away. So who was this heathen? By painting the picture in 5 verse 3, who was the heathen that was put away that we can read, Elder? 5 verse 3 of Maccabees 5 verse 3, who was the heathen? Come on.
Chapter 5 verse 3. Then Judas fought against the children of Esau and Adullam and Albitan because they besieged Gela, and he gave them a great overthrow and abated their courage and took their spoils.
Uh-huh. So now you know how to read that verse. The heathen he's talking about is when Judas Maccabees, the tribe of Judah, the Israelites, whooped Esau and whooped them real good. That they had at that time no more carriage. Now them got their second win. You let them got their second win. You know when you beat a person down real good, they ain't got no more carriage. But see, now you let them slip some money in your hand, huh? Now you got a verse showing you that you whooped them real good. You beat them down where they had no more carriage. They had to go back and sit back and just wait and watch you enjoy the turkey dress and the cranberry sauce. But you put a base load on them. See? And you was happy behind it. What happened in 59, Elder? Back to 459.
Chapter 4, verse number 59 says, moreover, Judas and his brothers with the whole congregation of Israel ordained that the days of dedication of the altar should be kept in their season from year to year by the space of 8 days from the 5th and the 20th day of the month of Kislev with the myrrh and gladness. Huh?
Oh, so that 5 and 20 day, if you got the Hebrew flip, it show you that day translate into December 25th. So the true meaning of December 25th is, according to verse 59, can you, but it's national audience over 700,000 strong in and outside. True meaning of December the 25th, according to verse 59. Look at 59 real carefully. Be slow to speak and look at it real carefully on the proper meaning of December 25th that started in 146 B.C. What is the true meaning of December 25th, according to verse 59? Paul Hill, you're on the clock. Come on.
Dedicating the days of the altar in the season from year to year on the 5th and 20th day. It's called the month of Kislev.
Mm-hmm. So what is that day all about according to verse 59? Elder, what's that day all about according to verse 59? What is December 25th all about according to verse 59? Remember, you looked at 57 and 58 real carefully. You got that already up on the bag. So now you put it all together in verse 59. So between them three verses, what is the true meaning of December 25th that started in 146 B.C. according to the last three verses you just got to read? Kind of sum it all up for the national audience, Elder. Take your time. You're on the clock. Come on.
Well, it's called the Day of Dedication of the Altar. That's the Day of Kislev. Should be kept from year to year on the 5th and 20th day. The whole congregation of Israel and Judah.
And what? They both keep it and do it. And what kind of demeanor do they have on them according to 57 and 59? Look down and see what profound word can be. They keeping this, but how they supposed to keep it according to 57 through 59? Look down and give me one good word that they supposed to do for 8 consecutive days according to 57 to 59, give me one good word that we can read. What does it say?
Well, looking over this to give you that one good word, it's the day of dedication of Kislev that they keep from year to year.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. That's a great word, dedication. Now, okay. So now we see this happened. They said, "Well, this happened in the Old Testament, Day of Dedication. That's in the Old Testament, but that's when it started in the Old Testament. Now, let's put a marker there, Elder, and now let's go to that St. John, and we're gonna read exactly it." Anybody else that we know of great stature, keep that day. Now we go on and read, 10:21? Let's read.
I think it was 10:22. Now,
yeah, 10, make it 21 and 22. So now
okay.
we want to see, did any great big old dignitary after 146 B.C., they kept the dedication for 8 days the word out looking for a dedication with gladness. They really enjoyed their turkey dressing and cranberry sauce. They kept it for 8 days. But let's see what it's done away with way back on the right side of the book in St. John chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Let's see if any great big old dignitary remember the day of dedication. Let's see what it says, Elder, in 21 and 22. St. John.
The book of St. John, chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. 21 says, others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter.
And what happened next? 23.
And Yahweh the Son walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. 24. Then
but
came
on,
the Jews.
Hold on. So they will tell you in verse 21, the devil can't open your eyes up. The devil can't open your eyes up. He'll keep you thinking that December 25th is about a fat white man riding around in midair with reindeers, dropping presents down through projects that don't have no chimney. They'll keep you thinking that. They'll keep you going to malls and having your baby sit on a fat white man's knee, and you look and the baby look right at him and say, this is what I want for Christmas. They'll keep you thinking December 25th means gift giving. December 25th is not about no gift giving. It's about a celebration of a whooping that was put on Esau and his five sons with this shepherds called Moab and Ammon, the Japanese and Chinese. It was a great slaughter that they celebrated, the children of Israel, the Israelites, for 8 days, and they had turkey dressing and cranberry sauce celebrating the whooping that they put on the nations. That is the true meaning of December 25th. So now, then we fast forward to the right side of the book and find out that Yahweh the Son himself came walking 70 miles in the winter to keep the day of dedication, and the dedication is December 25th. So December 25th got nothing to do with no gift wrapping, gift giving. It's a celebration of a whooping of Esau and his five sons according to the foundation. So Mother Eve, when we read 29:16 of Isaiah, Mother Eve, what on happened? What on happened, Mother? Isaiah 29:16. Can you help those see out what will happen on December 25th? What really will happen, Mother? Isaiah 29:16, Mother, what it say? Mother E, Isaiah, take your time that, Mother. Just get a little of that herbal tea, Mother E, Mother E, and look real carefully at 29. Verse 16, help those see out and plus the national audience of the true meaning of December 25th and what have really happened according to Isaiah 29:16, Mother. What do it say that we can read?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a pot of clay. What shall be work say of him that made it? He made me not. What shall the thing formed say of him that formed it? He has no understanding.
Uh-huh. But Mother, all we need in that verse is what they have did. And according to the first two lines, what have they did for December 25th? They undone what? With the first two lines, mother. Look at that 29:16 and tell us how they unmasked the true meaning of December 25th. And now you know more about gift giving, reindeers riding around in midair, and a fat white man chariot in midair, going through chimneys, dropping presents. What they have did, mother, according to Isaiah the seer, in 29:16, the first, what they really have did, mother, come on.
Surely you're turning a thing upside down. They'll be esteemed as the product
of excellent. Yeah, mother, that's it. This December 25th have been turned upside down. The true meaning of December 25th have been turned upside down. We don't even celebrate the true meaning of December 25th. It's been turned upside down. Now, mother, read Psalms 11, verse 3. And look what it says out of the mouth of the ministering spirit to David to put in writing in Psalms 11, verse 3.
Okay. Book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3. Book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3, read. Book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
You see that, mother? The righteous can't do nothing, but when December 25th come up with the righteous, they gonna mold, cater to the fat white man in midair, flying around in a chariot,
right,
with reindeers, midair, and they mm-hmm. they gonna take the whole, they gonna park the chariot on top of the project, and he gonna mm-hmm. slide down through the chimney and give everybody gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of the imps gonna throw a rope down and pull him up and put him back in the chariot, and he gonna fly away again in midair. You see what they do? This thing has been turned upside down. Somebody got to teach the true meaning of December 25th. December 25th started in 146 A.D. It is a celebration of Israel, the Israelites, whooping Esau, according to 5 verse 3, a great slaughter, and he had helpers called Moab and Ammon. The Chinese and the Japanese helped them, but they all went down. So that was ordained by Yahweh by the Maccabees in 146 B.C. Now we find out the sun is coming in the flesh after he gave him the great overthrow. Now he coming in the flesh. And let's see if that day done away with when the elder getting ready to read in verse 22 and 23. Let's see if the day of dedication. Dedication means December 25th, 146 B.C. when it started. And let's see did the Almighty celebrate that day and what did he did on that day, since you know it's an eight-day feast. What did Yahweh the Son do in 10:22-23, Elder? Take your time, let's read it. What Yahweh the Son did on the day of dedication in St. John 10:22-23, what did he do? Let's see, is he going to get him a gift? Come on. Hi, Elder. St. John 10:22-23, Elder, come on.
St. John chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. 22 says, and it was at Jerusalem, Gada, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. 23, mm-hmm. and Yahweh's son walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now you see, now you just got to reading, in fourth chapter. You just got to reading it, Elder. Let's go back to the fourth chapter again and pick it up about this feast of dedication. So we find out, what was the son keeping? Was he keeping a gift-giving day, or was he keeping dedication on the December 25th? What was Yahweh the son keeping? What was on his mind, him going to the temple, getting a Christmas present, or was he coming to dedication according to what the Maccabees did in 57 and 59. Just read it, Giggle. It sounds so good. Let's go back, and I want you to tell me, what is he doing? Is he going to get him a gift of dedication, or is he doing what was ordained in 4:57 down all the way? I want to be quiet and enjoy the meal. Then you break it down exactly what he's doing on dedication in the winter. You tell me what he's doing on December the 25th. After you read 57 down to the close, then you break down and tell me what is he doing on December the 25th. Come on.
Maccabees chapter 4, 1 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 57 to 59. 57 says, They decked also the four fronts of the temple with crowns of gold and with shields, and the gates and the chambers they renewed, and hung doors upon them. 58. Thus was there a very gladness among the people, for that the reproach of the heathen was put away. 59. Moreover, Judas and his brothers, with the whole congregation of Israel, ordained that the days of dedication of the altar should be kept in their season from year to year by the space of 8 days from the 5th and 20th day of the month of Cheslu, with the myrrh and gladness.
So dedication will be with myrrh and gladness for 8 days. So now, Elder, what is Yahweh the son doing on according to 10:22-23? What is he doing? What is he doing in St. John 10, verse 22-23? What is he doing, Elder? According to St. John 10:22-23, what is the son doing? Is he going to get him a birthday present? Being born in the manger, what is he doing on dedication? What's he doing, Elder?
Well, he's keeping the season. Yeah.
Huh? What's he doing?
He's keeping the dedication.
What are you going to do on December 25th? What's he going to do? According to, what's he going to do on December 25th? Is he going to get him a baby in a manger gift? What is he going to do on December 25th? The son. Excellent, mother. Come on, mother. Bring it out, mother. The elder don't want to pop the whip, so on that question. And you might as well come on, bring it out, mother. What's going on that day? What's going on? Bring it out.
We're going to the Feast of Dedication on December the 25th.
There you go.
And what is he celebrating on December 25th? Because we know it's called dedication. So what is he celebrating? He's celebrating his birth?
No, he's celebrating Judas and his brothers whooping Esau. Now, Esau and his five sons and the other ones.
Excellent. So December 25th is a day of celebration for 8 days, and the sun is coming down to the temple, and they're going to celebrate 8 days, pointing back to what happened in December 25th, 146 B.C., and that day was continued by Yahweh the Son. He came in the winter walking 70 miles to get to the temple to be there for 8 days, but it wasn't about him getting no birthday gifts, nothing about him born in the manger. He was celebrating the same thing that Judas Maccabee was celebrating on December 25th, overthrow of Esau and his five sons with his shepherds, Moab and Ammon, translated today as the white man and the white woman and the Chinese and the Japanese. That's what he was coming to do on December 25th. It got nothing to do with no fat white man flying around in midair with some reindeers, everybody in midair, squeezing down through a chimney and leaving you presents. That have nothing to do with the true meaning of December the 25th. It's a day of dedication of the children of Israel whooping Esau and his five sons, and they enjoyed turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce, a lot of wine, ran back talking about the whooping. And he came to celebrate the whooping of dedication in the winter. So that is the true meaning of December the 25th. Now come on back, Elder, in 1 Maccabees chapter 4 and pick up verse 60. And we'll read down to the 68. Listen to this. Come on back to verse 4, Elder. Coming back to chapter 4, verse 60, and we'll read down to verse number 68. Listen, let's really enjoy it. Elder, come on, let's really enjoy this. Come on. Verse 60. Okay. Hey, Elder. First Maccabees 4:60. Come on.
It goes to 61. So starting at 60, 60 says, at that time, they also build up the Mount Sinai with high walls and strong towers around about. These the Gentiles have come out to tread it down as they had done before. 61. And they set there a garrison to keep it and fortified the Shura to preserve it, that the people might have a defense against Idumea.
So while they was enjoying it, they built the temple over, and while they was enjoying it, they know they was happy inside, but they put watch, they put lookout, and what were they looking out? What was it? According to 60 and 61, Elder, what were they on guard? And who they're looking out to make sure they don't come and interrupt the feast day of 8 days. Of course,
they were looking.
61, they were, go ahead.
They built those strong towers around about so the Gentiles wouldn't come. Keep the Gentiles out.
Oh, yeah? And according to 5 verse 3, who are these Gentiles they kept a good eye on, according to 5 verse 3. Who's these Gentiles that they kept a good eye on, these Gentiles, and these Idumeans and these heathen, according to 5 verse 3, what is their name that they was on God, keep eye on them, according to 5 verse 3?
5 verse 3?
Mm-hmm.
First Maccabees 5:3.
Yeah, so who are these Gentiles, heathen, and Idumeans that they put lookouts to make sure they keep an eye on them while they eat their turkey dressing and cranberry sauce and drink their wine and rub back and skin and grin? Who was they were looking, have watches to peep so they can enjoy their eight-day feast day, according to 5:3? Read that, Elder.
Okay. First Maccabees chapter 5:3. Then Judas fought against the children of Esau in Idumea at Abarim, because they besieged Gilead and gave them a great overthrow and abated their courage and took their spoils.
So who was the children of Israel, the Israelites, who they were peeping at, Elder, but make sure they would not come back, because they done beat them down so good, their carriage was gone, bad shape. So who was they were looking out for, because they knew that sooner or later they going to come back again. So who was the children of Israel really peeping at on their high tower walls and planted everywhere to go, the feast go happy? Who are they peeping at, Elder, according to verse 3?
Peeping at Esau. Keep him out. Peeping at Esau.
You know,
keep him out.
So you see that? So you see how, Elder, how this thing got to be taught the right way with the Bible open. See, it got to be, see, you don't take the 1, because Luke chapter 1, mother, see, we found out it was winter. So they'll look at your records, and they'll go to Luke chapter 2. Now, you tell me, now once we investigate this with the Bible open, mother, tell me, do this ass up with the Bible open. See, that's why we got to examine some things, mother. We just can't just continue doing things and don't examine nothing. We let people tell us things and we just go with it. Now we got a man in the air with a chariot and got reindeers in the air with chariots. He got a bunch of presents. He's flying around in midair. You see? And we celebrate that. But mother. And now we found out this dedication day is a day that starts December 25th at winter. We're going to look at something, mother. And we're going to look at the Bible, and we're going to see, do this add up? You know, they got a saying now that if you do cruelty, matter of fact, even if you whoop your child now, the CFF or what they call it can come out and whoop you real good for cruelty. Now, keep that in mind. Now we go on and look at Luke chapter 2, mother. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to pick up at number 5. We'll read down a little bit, mother. Let's take our time and read down to verse number 12. But read it, take your time and read it real good, mother, for the national audience. Remember, the dedication day was December 25th, for 8-day feast day. It's the true meaning of December 25th. Now, we better read where they are turned this thing upside down, and they put this on December 25th. Let's see what they put on December 25th. Run it for your eyes in the Bible in Luke chapter 2, verse 5, down to verse 12. And you tell me, do this make sense with what we know already out of Take 25? 2, 5, down to 12, come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 5 to 12, verse 5. To be taxed with Mary, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse, Christ, being great with God, with this. And so it was that while they were there, the day were accomplished that she should be delivered, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Yahweh come upon them, and the great and the glory of the Yahweh shine round about them, and they were so afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to you, which shall be to all people. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Yahweh the Son. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find this day wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 7 again.
Verse 7. Luke chapter 12, verse 7. And she brought forth, Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn.
So you couldn't get into the Holiday Inn, you know what it is, you know, say it was so crowded, December 25th, I mean, you know, it was so crowded at this inn, and she was getting ready to have her son, and so she couldn't have it in the inn because it was too crowded. So she had it. He had this baby, you know, just said for now, it's December 25th. Now tell me, you believe any mother will wrap their baby up on December 25th and swaddle clothes, and you can leave them outside up on the tree and swaddle clothes, a day-old baby, you can wrap them in swaddle clothes December 25th and leave them outside for any time, mother. Would any mother do that, Mother E?
I don't think so. I wouldn't.
Would any mother have a brand new baby on and leave them outside on December the 20th, wrapped up in a manger up on a tree? Would any mother do that? If anybody of the FF here about you got your baby outside in the winter, you're going to lose that baby. They're going to come take that baby from you. They're going to come and
child,
take that baby from you.
Child and
There's
Family
no
Services
way.
Will take it.
What's their name, Elder?
Child and Family Service will be knocking on your door.
If they find out that you just had the baby, and you wrap them in swaddling clothes, and because you can't bring them in. You had the baby outside on the tree, and they found out that you had the outside under the tree, and you left the baby outside in a manger under a tree on December 25th. How long would you have that baby, Elder?
Truthfully, I can't tell you. But when they come, he's gone.
And not only going to take that baby, what are they going to do with you?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be taken as a bad parent, and you're going to have to face the cost.
Hey, you going to jail.
Yeah.
That's cruel. Now, you are taking this story and December 25th on it. And December 25th is talking about the dedication of the children of Israel, whooping Esau, eating turkey dressing and cranberry sauce. You take this story where the shepherds that feed their flock by night. Now, even the shepherds got the cattle out by night. Ain't nobody got no cattle out by night on December 25th. They had them off into some cave somewhere with some heat on their tail. Everybody, so this day is the wrong day that you take this story and put on December 25th. December 25th, now, when December 25th come up this year, call over there in Jerusalem what the weather is over there. Let's see what the temperature be on December 25th when you come. Let's see what anybody have they livestock out in the winter. Still you have them in caves. Let's see what a woman have a baby outside on the tree, December, and then wrap them in swaddling clothes and let you go take a look at your baby 1 day old, 1 hour old, in swaddling clothes on December 25th. See how they don't turn this thing upside down on you? Now you celebrating this. And you got three wise men and a baby wrapped in a manger on December 25th. This thing has been turned upside down, and the world is laughing at you today. And that's the reason why we can't win nothing, because we following this instead of following the true meaning of December 25th. December 25th. The son was not coming to get no birthday present, coming to celebrate the dedication of the children of Israel, the children of Judah, the Israelites, whooping Esau and whooped all the carrots out of them. They were celebrating 8 days at the temple, eating turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce, drinking that wine, and he came to celebrate that day. He did not come to get a birthday present, because he wasn't even born around December 25th. What day was he born? He was in a manger. If he was in a manger, the Bible tell you what day that he was born. You know, the Bible even tell you what day he was born. Hey, Adam. Let's see, do the Bible tell us what day was he born? Let's see what the Bible tells us this. The Bible tell everything. All we got to do is read a little something. But you got other people got your records. Let's see, can the Bible tell us when was the son born? Stay in Luke, Elder. We're going to stay in Luke and see if we find out when was the son born. We're going to stay in Luke. And we're going to see, can we pick it up and see about when was the son born. Pick it up at Luke chapter 2, stay in 2, and we'll look at verse number 225. Hey, Elder, what do Luke 225 say?
The book of Luke chapter 2, verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, Gadda, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel and the righteous spirit upon him.
So he was a devout man. So he was just and he was devout. And he came to Jerusalem and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So he understood the law. That was the Holy Ghost mean. He knew the law. So he knew the law. So he was in Jerusalem there, Elder. And what happened next in verse 26?
26. And it was revealed to him, unto him, by the righteous spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen Yahweh the Son.
Ain't that something? Oh, so we found out that he was in Jerusalem, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost told him that, listen, you ain't going to die until you see Yahweh the Son. Is that what we're reading so far, Elder? Huh?
That's exactly what we're reading. That's what we're reading. Uh-huh. That's what it says.
Okay. What do the next verse say? Verse 27.
27. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple. And when the parents brought him in the child, Yahweh the Son, to do for him after the custom of the law.
They brought him to the temple to do according to the law. Good. And what happened next, the next verse? 28.
Then took he him up in his arms and blessed Yahweh and said.
So he took. Go ahead, 29.
And 29. Yahweh, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word.
He said, now you can go. So evidently, he got to the temple, and the Holy Ghost told him, you ain't going to die until you see this Yahweh the Son. Mary and Joseph going to come to this temple and bring this baby there to be circumcised there. That's what they're talking about. So now, so he was there, then the Holy Ghost told him to wait. And what happened in verse 30? And watch what he said in verse 30.
Verse number 30 says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation.
Oh, so he said, my eyes at the temple, now I see my salvation. So he grabbed the little baby, in his hand, and said, I'll see the salvation. Now, just getting very interested here. And what happened next? What happened next in the next two verses? Give me the next two verses just the way it is, because we wanna deal with something. Go ahead. Next two verses.
31. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel.
So this is for the glory of the people of Israel, huh? Good. And now, Mother E, what do it say in the next verses? 33, 34, and 35. What do it say in the next three verses?
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 33, 34, and 35. Verse 33.
Uh-huh.
And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Verse 34. And Simeon left him and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. Verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thought of many minds may be revealed.
We want to come back and that's good right there. We want to come back and look at something again, Elder. I want to just get ready, but I don't want to get ready because I like to enjoy good stuff. I want to come back again. Now, before we find out that Mary, Joseph, they was bringing this child up. Now, it could have been for, they don't say the 8th day, so, but they got him at this temple for some reason. So it don't say that what they was for, but in other verses we can deal with that later. That was for the 8th day, but this is something different. So we'll go with something different. You know they there, the child, mother, their parents is there with this child. And we got a man of Yahweh is waiting. He's waiting at the temple to see this child. Because the Holy Ghost told him, you just hold still. The mother, the father. Now, hold that point. The mother and the father. Let me clear that up real quick. Hey, Elder, clear it up real quick. Let's run to Matthew chapter 1. I want to clear it up real quick. I said the mother and the father. But now I want to clear it up The mother and the father. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1:1. And then we're going to skip down Matthew 1:1. Yeah, read 1:1 to get out the way.
Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. One says, the book of the generations of Yahweh the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Son of Abraham and son of David. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 1, Dale. We want to go to Luke chapter 1.
Okay. Luke chapter 1.
Wait, hold on. I ain't calling no verse out. Hold on. I ain't calling none out yet. It's Luke chapter 1. I want to look at around about verse 30. Let's see. I want to look at around. Come here. Let's see what I want. Let me see what I want there. I want to make sure I just bring out what I want there. Make that Luke chapter 3. And look what it says in verse number 23.
Luke chapter 3, verse number 23. 23 says, and Yahweh the Son himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Caleb.
Hey, hold on there. Go back and read that part again. Take your time on that part. Go back.
Okay, gotcha.
Go back in verse 3 and stop at... Stop it there and then read the next name and that's it. Read that verse 30 again, 23.
23 says, and Yahweh the Son himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, a son of Joseph.
Hear that? What is the key word there? What's the key word we read here? Remember I was saying about the mother and father came, but wait a minute now. But what do the records say in verse 23? And Yahuwah the Son began to be about 30 years old of age, being as was supposed to be the son of Joseph. They, you know how it goes in the days. You know that no, that ain't the real daddy. That just the, otherwise that's the stepdaddy. He's supposed to be a daddy, yeah. But ain't the daddy. And that's exactly what you're reading over here. Supposed to be the son of Yahuwah the Son, the new. He's supposed to be the son of Joseph. But we know that's not true out of his own mouth. Now, out of his own mouth, what did he tell Mary, his mother, and supposed to be his father, out of his own mouth? What did he say in 2:48 and 49, Elder? What did he say out of his own mouth? In Luke chapter 2:48 and 49. What did he say when he look at it, his mother and his supposed to be father, eyeball to eyeball? What did he say to them in verse 48 and 49? Okay.
Luke chapter 2, verses 48 and 49. 48 says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sourly. 49. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Which ye had not that I must be about my father's business.
What's going on here, Elder? What's going on here? What did you tell Mary Joseph? What did you tell him? What's going on here?
He must. Well, why do you sought me? He's about his father's business.
So evidently, Joseph is not his father, is he?
That's what it say.
I got to be about my father's business. I mean, what y'all looking for me for? Don't you know that I gotta be about my father's business? That what he told Mary and Joseph. Hey, what y'all looking for me for? I gotta be about my, didn't I come here to be about my father's business? So you see, everything been turned upside down in the Bible. So what ministry gonna stand it up? Was it up to Israelite? My mother, E. Run to the 17th chapter 1 through 5, and let's see what he say, being out of his own mouth. St. John 17, 1 down to verse 5, listen good.
Okay. St. John.
17, 1 down to verse
5. St. John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. St. John chapter 17. Verse 1, these words speak Yahuwah the Son, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Honor thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2, as I have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thus have given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true Yahuwah, and Yahuwah the Son, the only true Yahuwah the Father, and Yahuwah the Son, whom thus has sent. Verse 4. I have glorify thee on the earth. I have finish the work which thou givest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thy me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Now, so who is he talking to? What father is he talking to? The one that is on the ground called Joseph, or the one that's up and away in the third heaven? What father is he talking to? He's talking to, according to 17:1-5. He said to his father that's up and away, give me back what I had with you, the one up and away, before the world was. Is he talking to Joseph? Now, somebody answer that question there. Mother, is he talking to Joseph or the one up and away?
He's talking to the one up and away.
You see, when you go to this book right here, now go to 17:5, Mother, or Matthew. See, you can take care of business on whatever subject matter he give you, because you are the purpose of the book. So you got to carry the right way. So the true meaning of December 25th. It is a celebration of the children of Israel whooping Esau and his five sons, translated today as the white man and the white woman, along with Moab and Ammon, translated as the Chinese and the Japanese. That was the true meaning of December 25th. That's what the six anointed camps are going to celebrate, the true meaning of December 25th. And Yahuwah the Son was not in the manger at winter, because if he was in the manger in winter, he was going, his mother and his supposed to be father was going to jail. You can't have no baby out there, day old baby up on the tree in a manger. And on December 25th, he's going to jail. Now look what he says in 17:5 of St. John there, Mother. What did he say to Peter, John, and everybody was around? What he says in Matthew 17:5. Let's see what the Father says in 17:5.
The book of Matthew chapter 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
Hear you him. Now, a voice is in the cloud. So do you think Joseph can get in the cloud, Mother, and then talk from a cloud down on earth? You think Joseph can do that?
Huh? No. No.
You think Joseph can get in the cloud, Elder, and talk down from a cloud down to them and say, this is my beloved Son, you hear you him? You think Joseph, big man, can do that?
Not unless he got a ride with Rudolph and the reindeer.
You got to have a ride with Rudolph. But we found out it was a voice come out of the cloud and say, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased in. Hear you him. That whatever he tell you to do, do it. Now, go back to Luke. Let's go back to that verse again, Luke there. Elder, you want to see, now remember, the big dignitary of Yahuwah was there, he said, and the spirit told him, listen, you ain't going to die until you see the son. The mother going to bring, and the supposed-to-be father going to bring him in into the temple. And he said, I'm ready to die now because my eyes have seen my salvation. So now I don't see what I want to see. So now you can take your body here. Now, came there to the temple around a certain time. And let's find out a little bit more about what time was this, what time this is that we can read. Then maybe we can tie in his birthday in this conversation. Now we're going back to the second chapter, Elder. And we try to tie in his birthday now. So we found out now they, that he was a big dignitary that honored some Yahweh. Holy Ghost told him, be cool, because the mother is going to bring the son in. The mother and the supposed-to-be father going to bring him in. So we clear who the father is. Now, we got that out the way. Let's see what time what this was, and we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 2. And then we can just about tie in his birthday and do this make sense. Can you have a baby tree around this time? Let's see. We're going to Luke chapter 2 there, Elder. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 38. We'll read down to verse 40. We're going to look at, then we're going to pause and bring our mother in, Mother Z, and she'll give you a commentary on what she heard or what the Almighty had put on her. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, and we'll pick up at verse 8 down to verse 2.
38 to what verse?
Take it down to verse 42.
38 to 42. 38 said, and she's coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Yahweh, and spake to him all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem of Yadav. 39. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Yahweh, they returned to Galilee, to their own Nazareth.
Their own city, Nazareth, yeah. And what happened to verse 40?
Own city, Nazareth. 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of Yahweh was on him.
Go ahead, 41.
41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? So there's right there. So his birthday, he was around 12 years old around what time? What time, Mother? What time, Elder? What his birthday is closer to? December 25th or what we read now? What is his birthday closer to? According to verse 41.
The Passover.
So Yahweh the Son's birthday is around the Passover. The Passover, when green herbs and stuff start popping up, that's when Yahweh the Son was born, around the Passover. Now you can have a baby up on the tree around Passover. You can't have no baby on the tree around no December 25th and leave them out in no manger for nobody to see it. You got to. If you can't, matter of fact, you can't gonna be able to pull out period on up on the tree on December 25th. That baby probably won't even make it. You got to. You can't. That. So they are taking that story right there. Yahweh the Son's birthday. Look what it says here. 41. Now the parents went up to Judah every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Judah after the custom of the feast. So his birthday is closer to the Passover than December 25th. Is that what we're reading, Elder and Mother? Is that what we're reading?
That's what it's saying.
No problem.
That's
so
what
his
it's saying.
Birthday is closer to the Passover than December 25th. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what's written.
Okay, so.
Now let's, Yahweh the Son, his parents brought him up around his birthday. His birthday is around the Passover. Now, Mother, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Then we're going to turn it over to Mother Z. Now, look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 5. I'll tell you what, pick it up at verse 6 through 8. Just make it sound good. Pick up verse 6, 7, and 8. Then we're going to pause from that. You see how we just pulled some out just because that's the way it went. Now look what we're going to find out. So now what is we getting ready for? If you don't set, which they did not celebrate no birthdays, period. But if you want to talk about birthday of the baby in the manger, you got to wait to round Passover. You cannot be celebrating his birthday in the heart of the winter, December 25th. That's cruelty. That don't work. Yahweh the Son did not come on December 25th to celebrate his birthday. He came to the dedication to celebrate Judah, Israel, the Israelites, whooping Esau and his five sons, and Chinese and the Japanese all in one good whooping. They said it was a great slaughter was put on them, and Yahweh gave us the power to do so. So we're going to celebrate this feast for 8 days, starting on December 25th for 8 days. We're going to have turkey. We're going to have dressing. We're going to have cranberry sauce and wine and red back for 8 days and skin and grin on our descendants got a lick in. And we're supposed to celebrate the 25th day of December, that mindset. Not about bringing gifts. Not about looking at the fat white man riding around in the air, in midair in the chariot with some reindeers, everybody in the elves, everybody in the air, and nothing holding them up. And you go for that. But you ain't going to go for none of this. You heard the story. What you going to do on December 25th? Is you going to have the mindset of celebrating the beat down of the other nations? Or you had a mindset on sending birthday cards hot and happy Christmas, Jesus' birthday in a manger? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? See, the Bible speaks for itself. What you read, Mother? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. What does it say?
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Verse 6. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that the little leaven the whole lump? Verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened forever. Therefore our Passover is sacrificed for us. Verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Hear that, Mother? You hear the man saying, see, Yahweh the Son is our Passover. He was born around Passover. When new growth come up, not in the heart of the winter, when everything up on the ground cringing. Everything up on the ground cringing on December 25th. People sliding around in their cars, bumping into each other on December 25th, trying to get a gift that got nothing to do with the true meaning of December 25th. Is we going to teach the Bible or are we going to continue with this folly? You keep on with this folly, we're not going to win nothing. But mm-hmm. we come to the true meaning of December 25th, show what the Bible's saying. This is the true meaning of December 25th. No, don't bring me no gift, and I ain't getting you now, because that's not the true meaning of December 25th. It's a celebration of the children of Israel, both fathers and mothers, whooping Esau and his five sons, the white man and the white woman, whooping them real good. But then you celebrate it for 8 days. Then you got the turkey. Got them all smothered down with dressings everywhere. Cranberry sauce on it. Then you cut into that turkey and say, look here, our parents made them the turkey, and we're going to enjoy this meal real good. So I'm looking for the mothers to make sure they had on cereal. A lot of dressing, and some turkey there, and let's drink a little wine and celebrate the true meaning of December the 25th with them fringes on. Huh? That is the true meaning of December 25th. Now you bring out the turkey, the wine, the cranberry sauce, the stuffing, because we're going to celebrate us getting the lick in. That is the true meaning of December 25th. The son was born around Pesach. What the book says. Are we going to do the Bible, or are we going to keep getting setbacks following the peoples of the world? It's up to you. The seer's job was just to deliver the message, and now we're going to turn over to Mother E, and Mother E getting ready to address this national audience by saying, Mother E, Mother Z, Baba Yah God, the one that mows out of calf one. You see, I'm ready to talk now behind that. So give me that microphone. Hey, Mother Z, you on the clock. Yahweh be with you, see Royal. Come on.
And Yahweh bless and keep you, see Israel, a royal seed. I love you, Yahweh. I'm going to read in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, starting reading at verse 1, and then I'm going to go some other places. Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 1, hear ye the words which the Yahweh spoke unto you, O family of Israel. Thus said the Yahweh, learn not the ways of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the sound of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. Verse 3, for the custom of the people are vain. For one cut a tree out of the forest, the work of the hand of the workman, with the axe. Verse 4, they deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. And then I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 40 and 19. Isaiah 40 and verse 19. The workman marvel. I don't know that. Mabba. The workman made a graven image, and the goldsmith separate it over with gold and spread it over with gold and cover and silver charms. I don't know. And then I'm going and read in Isaiah 45, Isaiah 45 and verse 20. Assemble yourself and come dwell near together, ye that are Isaiah chapter 45 in verse 20. Assemble yourself and come dwell. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nation. They have no knowledge. They sit up the wood of the graven image and pray unto a false Yahwali that cannot save. And then I'm going to the last one is going to be Isaiah 41:7. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 7. 41 and 7. So the carpenter encouraged against the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smooth the said it is ready for the soldering and the and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. In verse 8, but thus Israel are my servant Jacob, who I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And I'm going to stop right here and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hey, one thing about it. We're about one thing. It's getting this word to you. And understand one thing, we in it to help you. 609 accounts and all that the listeners understand one thing. You've been sold a bag or bill of goods that's not good. And you're not going to prosper. And Yahweh is going to do you some damage at time upon. That's why he's sending this light to you. Called the Voices of a True Israelite, the 609 accounts. We're showing you that what you're doing is totally wrong. It's time to wake up because Mother E, in Job chapter 10, this is Issachar boy doing a little talking. Let's see what he talking about in Job 10:21. Let's read a little bit and see what Job, Issachar's boy, talking about in Job chapter 10, verse 21. Let's see what kind of state or condition he's prophesizing about us today. This is what he says in Job 10:21. We'll read down till we get our point. What do you say that, Mother? Mother Eve, come on.
The book of Job, chapter 10, verse 21. Before I go, whence I shall not return even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. Verse 22. A land
hold
of
on,
darkness.
Mother, hold on, Mother. Hold on, Mother. Look at that verse 21. Look what he said. You hear what Issachar boy said, Joe? He said, before I go, before I die, he said, listen, Almighty, before I die, what did he say again, Mother? I mean, that's a pretty good heavy verse there, Mother. Read that verse 21 again. Take your time there, Mother.
Okay. Job chapter 10, verse 21. Before I go, when I shall not return even to the land of darkness.
What do you call this land, Mother? Hey, Mother, what do you call this land?
Darkness.
Ain't that something?
Land of darkness.
He called this land the land of darkness, Mother. He prophesied it, Mother. See, as long as we keep caught up in this world, this ain't nothing but the land of what?
Darkness.
All this is, Mother. That's all this land is. Everything they got is, it's been turned upside down. This is the land of darkness. Job, Issachar boy is prophesizing about this land of darkness. We do everything contrary to this Bible and think we'll get a blessing. No, you not. So Job say, you are in the land of darkness. Now read another verse there, Mama. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 22. A land of darkness as darkness itself. And of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is.
Wait a minute, Mother. We're in a land of darkness. You say it ain't no what? It ain't no what?
No light. Wait a minute.
And no what? No order. No order. It ain't got this land have no order whatsoever. There's no order in this land, Mother. See, we always trying to worry about this land. This land have no order. This is a land of darkness and death. It is no order. There's no order. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no order in this land. No order whatsoever. That's what Joe was telling us. So we so busy trying to get ahead in this land. And this land is gross darkness, and it has no order.
No.
Go ahead and read a little bit more, Mother. I don't got happy again. Go ahead.
It just goes to 22.
Okay, that's good. Well, read 22 again. Good. Read 22 again. Yeah, read it again, Mother. Read that again.
Okay. The book of Job, chapter 10, verse 22. A land of darkness, as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness.
And where the light is darkness. So we're in a land, Mother, that is a land of darkness, because we do everything wrong. Everything that you see on that one I say is totally opposite of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The Almighty tell you what day the blessed day is, but we do everything wrong. Now, Mother, let me show you what we're talking about. Let's go to Genesis 2, verse 3. Look what it says in Genesis 2, verse 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 3 reads, and Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which Yahweh created and made.
You see that, Mother? He blessed the Sabbath day, mm-hmm. And this place is such a gross darkness, we on the Sabbath day, we ignore what Yahweh did. And they think the blessed day is the first day that we call Sunday. We in gross darkness. Hey, Elder, look what it says in Deuteronomy 28. Hey, Elder, Deuteronomy 28. And when we look at verse 15, and skip down to 28 and 29, the closing statement, hey, Elder. You still tall, hey, Elder, no doubt about it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. 28 and 29 and a closing statement, Elmer. Whatever you want to say after you read this verse, the floor is yours and Elmer, come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse number
28, verse 15, and skip down to verse 28 and 29 and a closing statement.
Okay, 15 verses 28 and 29. Verse number 15 says, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt.
But to read.
And
Hold on. Look at Deuteronomy 28:15 real carefully. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. You get it real.
I got it. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 15, 28 and 29. 15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Yahuwah, to observe to do all his commandments or Torah instructions and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. 28. And the Yahuwah shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart of mind. 29. And if thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall have so save thee. No man shall save thee.
So Marcus Garvey tried to save us. Malcolm X tried to save us. Dr. Martin Luther King tried to save us. But what do the scriptures say again in verse 29 in closing statement, Elder? What do the Bible say in verse 29?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 29. 29 says, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee.
You hear him? So all the leaders of the past and all the one is coming, when they try to save this people, I tell them they African-American Negroes, what they going to run into, Elder, in a closing statement, take your time. So understand one thing. T.D. Jakes, none of them can save you. Only one can save you is the one in this book. So no man can save you, children of Israel. I don't care how good he sounds. He can't save you. Unless you come back to the law of the Bible, then Yahuwah is going to save you. Elder, closing statement. Excellent on your part. The floor is yours. Take your time and come out.
Generally, that's why I always say that a teacher can't learn from his students, because a teacher is giving wise counsel, and that's how a student learns. You can't be all over the place, because you will not receive the blessing of Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For time is at hand. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, we come humble is to pray, you children of Israel. Now, Mother E, let's go and see what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. And with how much time we have after you read. Matter of fact, after you read that, you will give this national audience your closing statement. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 down to verse 22, and a closing statement. Still tall there, Mother E, Mother Z, and that old elder, our elder, he was right there hanging in there riding shotgun, doing his part. And that's a great thing. The box there have been lit. The curtain have been up, went up. We know what the true meaning of December 25th. Is it going to teach the Bible, or are we going to go along with the folly of the world? Hey, Mother, Mother E, 1 Peter 2, 29 to verse 22, and take your time for your closing statement. Come on.
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. Verse 20. For what honor is it if when you be buffered for your fault, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with Yahweh. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Yahweh the Son also suffered for us, leaving us example that we should follow his steps. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Y'all hear that? You said follow his step, and his step is on December 25th. He kept the feast of what you gonna do? On December 25th. Well, same with that mother. Take your time. Take your time. It's all yours. Come on.
Okay. Thank the praising Yahweh for this class. Thank the praising Yahweh for the seal. And thank the praising Yahweh for the ones attending the class. And just thank and praise Yahweh that I'm able to be in the class. Thanking Yahweh for each and every one that's attending. And I want to read Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scum. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Yahweh, and in his law do he meditate day and night. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. Verse 4. The unyakwali are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Verse 5. Therefore the unyakwali shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6. For the Yahweh knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the unyakwali your past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And Mother Z, these famous words, hold on. Hold on. The help is on the way. It's coming out of the system on the council. Our bosses of the true Israelite. We try to tell you, hold on and come back to this Bible. The Bible don't support nothing that you're doing. And you're going to pay the price forever until the man just takes you out forever. It's time to come back and take a look at this Bible. according to the reading and understanding we're trying to pass on you from the six anointed camps, the boss of the other two Israelites. December 25th is a dedication of you 8 days with turkey dressing and cranberry sauce. Mm-hmm. And you stuff it into the condition that we in today. That's the celebration. You got it? Good. So we'll leave it like that.